Have you ever missed something that really mattered to you? In your mind right now, try to think of an example where you missed something that mattered. Doesn't have to be anything monumental, okay? Just something you missed. Maybe you missed your kid's ball game. Maybe you missed a homework assignment. Maybe you missed a child's play at school. Maybe you missed an important meeting. Maybe you missed a wedding. Hopefully not yours, but maybe you missed a wedding. Maybe you set your DVR to tape a certain show that you wanted to watch, but the program before it went long, and the end result was when you sit down to watch it, the last 5 minutes were gone, okay?
Hang on.
Better? Okay. And so you sit and you watch your show, you get to the end, and the ending's not there. Maybe you missed it, okay? I think we've all missed things that matter to us. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person next to you or near to you and just tell them something about something you missed and why you missed it, all right? That's what I want you to do. Turn to the person beside you. This is something I missed and why I missed it. Go ahead. Okay, several years ago, the kids were still at home at that time, and I stopped by the Christmas tree lot to buy a live Christmas tree for us, and I picked out a tree, and you know how they saw off the bottom of the tree, and so they did that for us, brought the tree home, and when I got it home, it just was really small. I don't know if they cut off too much of the trunk or something, but it didn't seem that small at the lot, but I got it home, and Julie and Jeff and Patty were like, "Why do we have such a small tree? Why is it so..." I'm like, "It didn't seem that small." And so they said, "We'll take it back." And I said, "Well, there was a sign right there that said, no refunds, no returns, can't bring it back." And they said, "But it's so small. Hey, try." And so I said, "All right, I'll take it back and see if maybe we can try." Come here, sweetie. We're going to have just neck a little. You guys just visit for a second.
Oh, my goodness. That's not it.
Man. Testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know. That's weird. It doesn't happen in rehearsal. Okay, everybody, please grab a seat. We will give this a try. But here we are. I've got the little Christmas tree. I've come home. Jeff, Patty, and Julie say, tree's too small. Take it back. I say, no refunds. They said, it says no returns. But they said, please take it back. I said, all right, I'll try. Patty, who's about 15 at the time, said, I'll go with you, Dad. So the two of us go. Keep going. The two of us go, and we get to the tree lot, and this young guy, okay, this young guy comes over, and I say, now, I know that the sign says no return, but the tree's just too small. Could we possibly return the tree? Could you do that for us? And he looks at me, and he says, I will take it back for you. Testing, testing, testing. Yay! Good. Christmas tree. Patty and I take it back. No returns. The guy comes up, young guy, say, can we take the tree back? And he says, well, I will take it back for you. And I said, oh, thank you. That's so nice. And he went, no, not you. He pointed to Patty and said, I'll take it back for you. I went, oh, I kind of missed all that was going on right in front of me there. You know, kind of this connection between the two of them. And so sure enough, he took it back, you know. And as soon as I got my money back, once I got my money back, I made sure he knew that nothing was going to be happening with my 15-year-old daughter, right? Made sure of that. Didn't want to miss that. I just read an interesting study this week. Researchers put a clown on a unicycle. And they had that clown on a unicycle ride up and down city streets, okay? And then afterward, the researchers asked the people on the street if they noticed anything unusual. Well, almost all the people said, yeah, they saw the unicycling clown. Except for 83% of the people who were on their phone did not see the unicycling clown. 83%. Why? Because they were thinking about something else. They were focused on something else. And that happens. We miss something because we're distracted, okay? Something else has our attention and we miss it. And that's surely what happened the night before Christmas in Bethlehem. See, in this message series, what we're doing is we're looking at different locations and we're asking the question, what were the people thinking about in this location the night before Christmas? The word that we use to best describe what the people in Rome were thinking about the night before Christmas is the word unaware. They were just unaware that God was being born. The word we used last week to describe the people of Jerusalem, what they were thinking about, was the word hopeless. They've been waiting for 400 years for the Messiah to come, and they've given up hope. Well, the word that I want to use to describe the people in Bethlehem the night before Christmas that they were thinking about is the word busy. They were just so busy in Bethlehem. Write this down in your outline. The people were so busy, they missed Jesus. The people were so busy in Bethlehem that they missed Jesus. Everyone in the town of Bethlehem is going to miss the arrival of God on the planet. And here's why they missed him. Okay, Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1, tells the story. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Here it comes. And everyone went to their own town to register, okay? Now just think about that for a moment. How incredible, chaotic, and things had to be in this small little town of Bethlehem because of that decree, okay? Normally there were maybe 300 people that lived in the little small town of Bethlehem. But now with this decree, anyone who's ever been born in Bethlehem and their families all had to come back to register for this census, okay? How many of you like me were raised in a small town? How many small town people I have? Okay, yeah, my small town, New Salem, Pennsylvania, just south of Pittsburgh, we had 500 people. That's all we had, okay? We didn't get a stoplight till I was in high school. But just imagine what it would be like if today, if the government would issue a similar decree that we all had to go back to where our original hometown was to register for a census, there would be people crisscrossing the nation to get back to their hometown. And if you still lived in your hometown, what would happen? Oh, all your family members, all your friends who had moved away would all come and back to your house and stay with you, okay? Because they needed to register for this census. And then you'd have people sleeping on the floor. You'd have people who, you know, waiting for the bathrooms, trying to feed them. It was chaotic. The traffic was so heavy. And then think about for a moment, think about the long line at the little town hall in Bethlehem. Everybody had to fill out the paperwork. Everybody had to do this for the Roman census. So it was this very, very busy night in Bethlehem the night before Christmas. It was so busy that Luke points out in verse 7 of chapter 2, there was no guest room available for Joseph and for Mary. There was no place for them to sleep, no place for them to stay. Everything was already taken. Maybe the reason was because Mary was 9 months pregnant. Maybe it just took them a lot longer to travel to get there. And so when they get there, there's no place. They end up in a place that's normally occupied by animals, by livestock, because we're told that when Jesus is born, they place him in a feeding trough. Okay, that's what a manger is. It's just the feeding trough that animals eat out of. You talk about missing something that matters. Everyone is so busy in Bethlehem that they miss this young mom giving birth to the Son of God in their small little town. Imagine years later, the innkeeper himself. Think about it, okay? He and his family for generations have been talking about the Messiah and praying for that Messiah to come. And then he would find out years later that literally that Messiah was born in his backyard and he didn't even know it. He was just so busy that he didn't realize that God was being born in his own barn. And that's how all the people in Bethlehem were, taking care of in-town guests, just so busy, okay? Likewise, we can get so busy at this time of the year, and everything seems important, right? Everything we're doing seems necessary. We can get so busy that we can miss the meaning of Christmas. Now, I know that sounds kind of cliche, you know? Don't miss the meaning of Christmas, okay? The real meaning. But year after year, we keep doing it. We keep missing it because we get so distracted by all the things, okay? So almost all the people in Bethlehem, they missed the arrival of God on the planet, but there was one group that didn't miss his arrival, okay? Those were the shepherds, and they didn't miss the arrival of Jesus because the shepherds were in a place to hear God. The shepherds were in a place to hear God. Let's read the Christmas story about the shepherds from Luke chapter 2. Let's pick it up in verse 8. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the flock and the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Has been born to you. Has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Notice, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So we meet these shepherds in Scripture. They're out in the fields watching their sheep. Not the most exciting of jobs, but maybe part of the reason why they were chosen, at least part of the reason, was because they were in a place where they could hear God. Everyone else was so preoccupied, but the shepherds have a job that required them to be quiet. It wasn't like they intentionally moved out of Bethlehem, you know, to get out of the craziness, but they were doing their job, and their job had them in a position where they were quiet. Now, I'm not saying that we should all quit our jobs and become shepherds this week, but what I am saying is there is great, great value in getting quiet where you can be alone with God. I really believe that God wants to come to you and to reveal himself to you in a deeper and more personal way. I really believe that's what he wants to do. But too many of us live in Bethlehem. We live lives that are so busy. We live lives where we've got so much going on that God can't reveal himself to us because there's no margin, no space. There's no room in the end of our lives. Let's be honest. What's the real reason why you don't read your Bible and pray like you should? What's the real reason why you regularly miss a quiet time with God? It's because we're busy, right? And there is no space, no room in the inn of our lives, just like there was no room in the inn in Bethlehem for Jesus. And so we miss what matters because we're busy. A while back, New York Times carried an article called The Busy Trap. And the article made this point that if you ask people how they're doing, most people will say, I'm good, just busy. So busy. Crazy busy right now, okay? And they say it acting like they're complaining, but they also kind of have a sense of pride that they're so busy. Listen to what the author writes. He writes, busyness serves as kind of a hedge against emptiness. Obviously, your life can't be silly or trivial or meaningless if you're so busy, so booked, so in demand each hour of the day. He writes, we're busy sometimes because of ambition, sometimes out of fear of losing our job, but sometimes because we dread what we might have to face in its absence. None of us want to live empty lives, and we're afraid, he writes, if we slow down, if we stop, if we really think about our lives, that the emptiness will catch up to us. Here's what I'd say about all that. The harder it is for you to slow down and make time with Jesus, the more probable it is that that's exactly what you most need to do. Let me say that again. The harder it is for you to slow down and spend some time with Jesus, the more probable it is that that is exactly what you most need to do in your life. So the first thing the shepherds remind us is, don't let busyness keep you from what matters most, from Jesus. The second thing that these shepherds teach us, this is so important, the shepherds teach us how to celebrate Christmas. Do you ever wonder what's the correct way to celebrate Christmas? These shepherds are going to teach us how to truly celebrate Christmas. Watch for two things the shepherds did in Luke chapter 2, verse 15 to 18. Okay? It says, the shepherds say, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Okay. What did they do to celebrate Christmas? They did two things. First, they took the time to experience Jesus. They went to the manger. They experienced Jesus. And then second, they told someone else about what they experienced. That's how we're supposed to celebrate Christmas. That's what we do to keep from missing Christmas, okay? We take the time this Christmas season to experience Jesus, and then we share with someone else about Jesus and about that experience. And so what I want to do right now is give you just a few ways that you can do those two things. Just some simple, practical things to accomplishing that. First, how do we celebrate Christmas? Number one, by experiencing it ourselves. I want to give you three things that you can do this week, all right, to help you experience Christmas. Here's the first one. I want you to go outside and get quiet before God. I want you to go outside and get quiet before God. This week, I want you to intentionally create a moment. Okay? Here's what I want you to do. One night this week, when everybody else is inside laughing and talking, or maybe they're complaining and bickering, whatever, maybe they're watching the game, you go outside. All right? Just by yourself. Don't tell anybody else what to do. And this is not just for adults. I want the kids to do this. I want the students to do this. Go in the backyard where it's safe, okay? But go outside and look up at the night sky. Okay? I just want you to look up at the night. Can't do that. Look up at the night sky. And I want you to pick out the brightest star you see in the sky. Once you got the brightest star, I want you to just get quiet and think about the God that's made the heavens and the earth. And while you think about that God, then just say a prayer. And then here's what I want you to do. And I want you to do this. Just raise your hand toward that brightest star and say what those angels said the night Jesus was born. Just say, Glory to God in the highest. Just say it out loud. Glory to God in the highest. Got it? Go outside, find the brightest star, remember who God is. He created this. Raise one hand toward that star. Glory to God in the highest. Now, don't worry about if your neighbors might see you and think you're weird. They already think you're weird, so it's not going to be a problem, all right? Will you try this? I don't want you just to kind of hear me and say, oh, that's a cute little idea. I want you to create a moment where instead of just being all caught up in Christmas, you stop and you get in contact with God. And you have this moment where you connect with God, and just like those angels, glory to God in the highest. Try it. I mean, try this. You'll be shocked how you start to experience Christmas. Second thing I want you to do this week is I want you to go to a nativity scene and imagine you were there the night of Jesus' birth. Go to a nativity scene and imagine you were there. Now, if you want to get a nativity scene, maybe you have one in your house, and look at the pieces sitting in your house, you can do that. I just think it's going to be a lot more meaningful if you get outside and go to one. This is a selfie of me right here at the nativity scene in front of Baptist Collierville Hospital. They got a great one there, okay? Perfect place to park. If you need some place to go, you can go here, all right? But I want you to go to the nativity scene. I just stood there in the middle of the nativity scene and just thought about it. Wonder how cold it was. Wonder what kind of noises these animals were making, you know? I thought about how bad it must have stunk from the manure. And then I thought, boy, I bet Joseph was doing everything he can to try to clean the place up because the baby's about to be born. Imagine Joseph. And then I just looked at that nativity piece of Mary. And I thought, man, she's so young. She had to be so tired. But I thought, she also must have this smile in her heart and on her face because the Son of God is here. And then I just looked at Jesus. And I thought, wow, God, look what you did for me. And so then out loud, I just said, God loves me so much. And that's what I want you to do. Again, out loud, to look at that nativity scene, to get into the nativity scene, look at the baby Jesus and just go, wow, God, you love me so much. I promise you, if you will do this, I promise you, when you say that, you will experience Christmas. Third thing I want you to do this week is go to worship at church. To go to worship at church. Now, I hope you're planning to do that anyway next Sunday. But notice, this is real significant. I didn't ask you to come to church. I didn't ask you to attend a service. I asked you to come to worship. That's a big difference. See, I don't want you to go on Christmas morning next Sunday or come Christmas Eve because that's what we do. It's kind of a Christmas tradition. I want you to come and worship. After you've got outside and gone, glory to God in the highest, after you've gotten that nativity scene and gone, wow, God loves me, you're going to want to express your feelings to God. And so we come together to worship to do exactly that. Come with thanksgiving in your heart. So that's what I want you to do this week. For you to experience Christmas, get outside. Glory to God in the highest. Go to the nativity. God loves me so much. And then come to worship. Now, the second step the shepherds did was to celebrate Christmas was by sharing it with others. All right. You see, first you experience Christmas, then you share that experience. Luke 2, one last time, verse 16 through 18. Look what the shepherds did. It says, let's do verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word. They spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They immediately go and start telling others, anyone who would listen, about what they experienced. Think about this. The shepherds, they get this angel visit, right? It's incredible. He says, go see this baby. They go and find the baby, just like the angel said. Here it is, right here. Now, what do you think they do next? Wouldn't it have been crazy in that moment if they'd have said, wow, this is pretty amazing. Let's go back and sit down and watch our sheep. No, if you hear that good of news, you just can't sit there. You have to respond. And they said, let's go tell other people about what we've seen and heard. And when we personally encounter Jesus, man, you're just going to want to share that experience with someone else. Okay, so here's what I want to challenge you to do. Invite someone to our Christmas services. Invite someone Sunday morning, Christmas Eve, Sunday night. Do you know that Christmas is unquestionably the best time to invite someone to church? Statistics say that 75% of people who are invited to church for Christmas will come. 75%. So whoever that person is, you've been wanting to get to church, 75% chance they'll come with you at Christmas. Listen to me. An invitation to church isn't an invitation to a service. It isn't an invitation to a building. For the lonely, it's an invitation to fellowship. For the broken, it's an invitation to healing. For the grieving, it's an invitation to hope. For all of us, it's an invitation to move closer to God. So your invitation to church is actually an invitation to fellowship, to healing, to hope, and to moving closer to God. So let's make Christmas 2017. Let's celebrate it the way those shepherds did in the first century, first Christmas. Let's experience it ourselves. Glory to God in the highest. God loves me so much. Let's worship God. And then let's invite someone to church. That's how you celebrate Christmas. Now, all the way back at the start of this message, I ask you to turn to the person beside you and just talk about something you missed. It is my goal that not a single one of you miss the Christmas message this year. And so let's focus on it one last time. Take a look one more time at this picture of the manger. Let's kind of drop the house light so they can see it well. I've always wondered, I don't know about you, but I've always wondered, what did those shepherds do when they arrived? I mean, they knocked on the stable door, I guess, and said, there wouldn't happen to be a baby in here wrapped up, would there, in a feeding trough? And they said, yeah. And so they came in, and I always wondered, what did those shepherds do? I mean, shepherds aren't your normal pick up and hold a baby kind of guys. So what do you think they did? You know, do you think maybe the shepherds reached out their hand and patted him on the head? They couldn't have possibly known that there was going to be a crown of thorns rammed onto that same head. But we know that. And the shepherds, maybe did they pinch the cheek of baby Jesus? But they couldn't have known that one day a Roman soldier was going to spit on that cheek and punch that cheek. But we know that. Did those shepherds stick out their little pinky finger and have baby Jesus just grab hold of it? Don't you love that when a baby just grabs hold of your pinky finger kind of instinctively? Is that what the shepherds did? Did Jesus grab hold of their finger? But they couldn't have known that that baby's hands was going to heal the lame and give sight to the blind and raise people from the dead. And the shepherds had no idea that those hands would be nailed to a cross. But we know that. And those shepherds, did they kind of just squeeze his little shoulders, you know, kind of embrace him? Not knowing that those same shoulders would carry a cross and with it, the sin of everyone in this room. But we know that. Now look one more time at that manger scene. And as you do, I want you softly, out loud, to say the phrase, God loves me so much. You ready? Say it. God loves me so much. Now take a deep breath in and let's say it again, but I want you to say, God loves me so much that he gave his only son for me. Ready? Let's say it. God loves me so much that he gave his only son for me. That's Christmas. Don't miss it. Don't miss what matters most. And let's pray together. Father God, there is no greater response at Christmas than to say, glory to God in the highest. God, thank you for loving us so much. Help us over these next 6 or 7 days as we prepare for Christmas. Help us to not miss Christmas, but to celebrate it your way, to experience it and to share it. But most of all, Father, we just want to stop right now and say thank you for loving us so much that you came here to save us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just love the words to a Christian song called How Many Kings. Listen to this chorus. How many kings stepped down from their throne? How many lords abandoned their homes? How many greats became the least for me? How many gods poured out their hearts to romance a world that's been torn apart? How many fathers gave up their son for me? Only one did all that for me. God loves you so much. And I think it's time for you to have a relationship with that God that loves you that much. So while we sing this next song called He Loves Me, just come to the garden room and we'll help you begin a relationship with that God who loves you. Or if you're already a Christian and want to make this your church family, come tell us that at the Garden Room. As we stand and sing, He Loves Me, you come. Let's stand.